Welcome to Gullus Gagan, Falcheru, Enan Glerain. On this programme we bring you the first part of T. Brown's narrative poem Christmas Rose. The poem is interwoven with reflective seasonal Manx music which helps transport you back through Brown's words to a time long past. The introduction to T. Brown's collective works said of his writing that it is just this blessed gift of seeing people as they are and not as they ought to be, which makes Brown the man of men, and so the poet among poets that he is. The Christmas Rose by T. Brown. The parson, just stop a bit. Where to begin is that lamplit? I've got it. It's like you'll mind the big storm in 139. You do? At least some does. Then think of your sins, for that's the time my story begins. It was Christmas time, if I remember, or at any rate, well in the month of December. They were up at the school that night, practising, and even then the wind was rising. Old Hughie the clerk, and Jemmy Jem, and, oh, well, there was a pair of them, and Dicky Dick Beg, a gate of the fiddle, and the son and the daughter, and him in the middle. Cavils, of course, again, the Elveri. You'll mind it, Ned, you and me and Mary, and all the girls and the lads from the shore carrying on outside of the door. It was blowing hard when they went to bed, and there'll be jail tonight, the old man said. But chilled asleep sound, and the first I knew was mother shouting for any two, and I jumped, and I looked, and there was the wall, but the devil a roof there was at us at all. Devil a straw, but the bits of spars, and the sand and the spray and the scud of the stars, and all the houses stripped the same, hardly a rafter, hardly a beam, and the tearing and calling one to another, and Jenny, where are you? And mother, mother, and all the lot of them coming flying out on the street, and the shouting and crying, and this way, that way, and the pulling and hauling, and give us that rope, and make fast that tarpaulin. Bless my heart, the confusion, though, but the old man took for the beach, you know. Oh, a right old sea dog, keen on the scent, sniffing and snuffing away, went and round the gable and out on the strand, and crouching and slouching the back of his hand, and a laying his head to the wind like a bullet, and an edging out to the side of the gullet. Wasn't I after him, knowing his ways, and a howl of his arm, and we saw the blaze of a rocket go up, and study, he said. There's a ship ashore on Conister Head, and a gun come booming through the roar of the waves, and a ship ashore, the both of us shouted, and we ran like mad. Oh, it's the wonderful wind the old man had, and here all hands, he says, just as you are, there's a ship ashore on Conister. Ashore, but not where we might have got at her. You'll mind, but out in shoaly water, the Skrens they call it, and deep inside, but the Skrens shoals bad, and a 10-knot tide rakes them, and at a spring ebbs you'll get about a fathom, eh, Ned? That's it. Well, that's where she was, and could you see the people aboard? Aye, let be, my lads, let's drop it, however. Could a boat have lived? Tut, bless you, never. Never no life boats nor apparatus nor nothing them times, Lord help the craythers. Well, look here now, drop it do. It was light broad day when she parted amidships. All right was the word, and steady, all hands look out. Then never a word till one gave a shout and another, and hands was gripped in a minute, and I looked at the troch, and what was there in it? But a black man swimming strong and hard on his back, and a bundle, and I didn't regard what, but something white, and the lift of the sea curled round him and swept it adrift, and he turned on his face, and he made a bite with his teeth, and he caught it and held it as tight, and struck out, but rather slow. Oh, a pluckier black man I never saw. No, nobody else, and pluck is pluck, but whether it was his heart was broke with the strength of the sea, I cannot tell, but when they got howl of him, he fell in their arms, and sure enough he was dead, poor fella. But what do you think he had clenching his teeth? They had to cut the tapes with a knife, they were that tight shut. What but a little child, a gell, and living too, oh well, well, well. If you'd a heard the cheer and the women crying and running and taking their turn and trying to warm it at their breasts and rocking and doubling themselves over it, well, it was shocking. And go and tell the parson, such squealing. But the parson was there already kneeling by the black man's side, and he'd got a book and working the rules, and he wouldn't look at the baby a bit, for he said and he smiled, the women'll be sure to look after the child. But all the rules of the royal human, trying and trying, they wouldn't do, man. And he worked them well, and they all of them worked, and lifted and shook him, and rolled him, and jerked, and rubbed him, and all. And a fine man, looky, of his limbs, though his legs was a little crooky, as big as me, or maybe bigger, and the parson manoeuvring over the black fella, and some of the men fit enough to cry to think that a man like that should die and him in their hands. But they had to give in at last, and the parson tied up his chin with his own handkerchief and strooged his arms by his side. And he looked and looked, and then he kissed him. Aye, he did though, and these is the words he said, and all with their hats off holding their breath. Thou hast been faithful unto death. I will give thee a crown of life. Them's the words, and turns to the wife. And now let's see the baby, says he, and took it and nussed it as nice as could be, and of every soul aboard that wreck, that's all that had a chance, I expect, to reach the shore, for a ship that catches on the screens is very soon turned into matches. Some of the cargo was got to land, not much, no divers, you'll understand. Convenient to yonder place, but her name was found on a bit of planking that came in the trawl one day. But no manifest, nor log, nor list of passengers, nor nothing. Only the name, you see, the Hidalgar. So it's a Spaniard she'd be. Well, the little gell was took up to the church, and next day the parson come down to search for a nurse, and got an aunt of mine, just the woman, in the washing line, and shooted capital, oh, the best of characters, aye, and no sort of address nor sign nor marks except on a shirt, an I and a D, and a thing like a sort of a heathen god or some of these charms. I think they call it a coat of arms, but howsomdever, that's the way they thought the child was terrible high, and the blackfellow was buried as grand as you please in the parson's ground, just a bit of a rise from the top of the churchyard, and a mortal sight of people, and a service, and everything right, and dust to dust, and the clerk with the muck on the point of the spade, and the nate he shook. And the solemn a making believe that way, that they were all a gate of a Christian, eh? And a stone, aye, a stone, and the very verse the parson said over him at first. I know the man that cut it, and he told me, in the teens of pounds, in the teens, behold ye, and a stunning job at Jemmy Blewett. Oh, the man could do it, the man could do it. And the little girl did thrive for all, oh, man alive, and straight and tall and strong on her feet, and every feather like a child twice her age, a little crather, dark though, and keen and supple still, and the parson loved her terrible. I've seen him with her beside him, a-sitting on the dark fella's grave, and her a-getting daisies and that, and a-poking them straight in his face, and him with the love and the light and the strength and the strain of his soul's desire, all round the child like a glory of fire. Oh, it's truth, I tell you. But I heard them say the mistress wasn't much that way. She looked middling sharp now, and then at the pair and bite a thread with a wrench and stare, but quite just hemming and humming a bit. She was hard to make out, that woman. At least I'm told so. I was middling young them times, and the mistress was close of the tongue, a dry sort of woman, and no ways free, but always civil enough to me. What did they call the child, eh, Dan? Wasn't I gonna tell you, man? My patience, there's chaps, but I know what I knows. Well, they called her the Christmas Rose, and was the water hove in her face on a name like that? Just so, if you please. Christmas Rose, do you hear? Do you hear? Christmas Rose, now then. What cheer? Christmas Rose, you'll excuse me, mates, but I like to chastise these runagates. Now, the parson had children, George and James, sons the both, and that's the names, and that's the lot that ever they had, and such times as they come, I've heard it said, the wife and himself was middling owl, and the woman was dry, that's the way I'm told. I believe she was, and bony uncommon, oh, it's dry and bony was that woman. I've really thought many a time she was just like yonder Sarah in Genesis. The time she took Hagar, that was imperent to her, and jawed her, and put her to the door. Only the mistress, whatever annoyed her, had a way to keep the devil inside her, like them burning mountains seems done, they're burning, but the fire is in them, churning and churning the brimstone. Ah, dat, such women! I say they'd break the heart of Methuselah now the time I'm telling the boys, you know, was little things just beginning to go. George was the eldest, a tidy bit. I don't know was James and Pericus yet, just little things with the little bare pelt on their legs and their arms, and never a belt but a running string and a blue check brat and big round eyes and all to that. I don't believe that ever the mother herself was used to take much bother about them. Middling fond of the bed she was, and as for the parson, he said to my aunt when she spoke to him, middling free, "Now, Tilda," he says, "don't worry me about the lick, for I tell ye, Tilda, I have my childer like other childer. I don't know was it because he got no pride in him, or maybe he thought it was good for childer to be together, and out in the muck, and out in the weather, and sweating, and tearing, and fighting away, and getting strong, as you may say, and hard, and apt to take their part, and hand with hand and heart with heart, and free and bowl in the talk, and giving and talking and laughing and loving and living, with the race and rough if you like, but ready with the stuff in them that when they'd get steady and know their place, them's the boys, by jing, that'd have to go in them for anything, like trees. They grow in the open air, eh, lads? And chances it rain or fair, blow high, blow low, they've got the grain in their hearts that'll polish and polish again. Now, did he do right or did he do wrong? Is it me? Chut, capers, get along. Bless me, the imps they got and the pluck. But that was long after the parson took the strange child home, for then, no doubt, they were innocent baby things run about, and terrible fondest lick that they'd be of the little sister that come from the sea. But when they grew to be lumps, the fond they got of me, you'll understand, and me of them, and their head like wool, that curly, and all of them beautiful. And when they got big and took sense, they begun to take pride in theirselves, and done theirselves that nice, and their clothes that fine and soft and different like from mine, that I loved to touch them. And when they were rowing in the boat with me, all stripped and showing their arms, and white and strong for all, and the neck like a tree, and their back like a wall, I'd miss me stroke for looking, yes. Oh, I couldn't take no rest. And mother was allus scowling, of course. She was the woman that could and never got hoarse. And who was I, and what was the good, and place was place, and blood was blood. But let them grow a bit, I'd see, they wouldn't take up with the licks of me.
Shane and Natalia, Natalia Fagrina,
the parson was terrible wise, you know, and he saw at once which way the wind blew, and I have him now with the old blue eyes, the tender, the loving, and the wise. So with her it was allus baby and fool, and when was I going to begin to cool? And there wasn't a thing going under the sun, but the parson knew the way it was done, for his heart was just four pieces joined, a man and a woman and a child, and a kind of a sort of holy ghost or another, so he knew what was at me better than mother. Just a fit that was on me, like, that would have its time and then it'd break, like a spell of weather, and I'd be waking swivel enough, and no good to be shaking a poor crather that's dreaming, but all the same, if he's dreaming, his dream is a happy dream. And I believe that was mortal that. I believe the parson knew what he was at. I believe he knew it was good for us, for me and for them, for better, for worse. That all we had in us should have fair play, and all give account at the judgment day. Oh, the heat of young blood is a terrible thing, and it swims in your head and makes it sing queer songs enough, but doesn't it loose your soul like a bud that's sticky with juice till it creaks and it cracks and it opens free in the eye of the sun most gloriously? Anyway, look at the other cert, a steppin' there tippy-toes over the dirt, bless you, keepin' no company, but only with the top of the tree, and no spunk in them, and no chance of the headit, and marry a fortin, and be a credit. Oh, well, but the parson was kind, and he'd say, come up, man, Thomas, or stay, lass, stay, or as free as free, and the servant towel to give me dinner, bless your soul, in the kitchen, of course, and them coming creeping across the parlour, the divils, and peeping, and her with a clout hitting them sudden, and me looking foolish and working the pudding. And he'd play with us too, with the parson, yes, tops and marbles, and not a miss, not him, and laughing at all their jokes, and knuckled down, and take his canoaks, duckstone, hammer the let. Well, no, I don't think it would hardly be fit for a parson to run with his shirt all amuck, sweat, and singing out, double a duck. And eyeing and creeping just the same as an old black cat besides them games. They doesn't do, of course, they doesn't, without a little bit of cussing, but out with the ferrets agate of the warren, or in the haggard plain but torrin, and them two boys with their imperence mocking, and tripping the parson up most shocking, and flooring him, and rolling him over, and trying to bury him in the clover or straw of the lick, and him a struggling, pretending lick, and his owl throat goggling and spluttering out the stuff, and me ashamed as ever I could be, the hat flying here and the stick flying there, well, the shy and the shamed, never fear. A blessed old fool, you'll be thinking. Not him, but a sort of blessed old cherubim, if you like. And who can tell the sorrows he was working out of him with them sparrows, lying and kicking? And if he had thought the limb I was, and the way I taught them boys to cuss, it isn't there I'd have been, it's like, oh dear. Children are strange, for nearly the fuss I knew them, I asked them, could they cuss? And they said no. And I wouldn't take rest, but they must learn, and the words say this, I said, and say that, and to it we went, bless my heart, though the innocent. And I don't know but him that's above, which they say his name is Love, he'll be known all the salve, was I as innocent as them, or I taught them, though, and the oldest was clever. Well, he could work it for sure, however, but James was quiet over it still, no ways hearty, though comfortable. But the gel, did you say? I know, the gel, just so, gels, and sorrow and sin, they're in everything. And what was she like? Yes, I hear. What was she like? I never fear. The little girl that was took from the wreck. What was she like, eh? What was she like? Is it... What was she like? Stop a bit. The way she'd stand, the way she'd sit, and George and her, and taking an oar, and up in the church, and down on the shore, and the turn, and the spring, and the looking behind, and the eye all full like a cup with wine, and... What was I saying? Let's see. I can't, the likes of me, draw a picture of her. Come, that's a rig, but was she little or was she big? Little or big? What's in my head, little or big, I think you said. And me, that never looked at her, but almost trembling, mind you, there. Lord, bless your soul, you ignorant noddy. Wasn't there fire coming out of her body, aye, all over her, a blaze that beat you back, like the Bible says, the sword of fire afore now at the door, off the Garden of Eden, though, to be sure, and burning and burning and turning and turning every heart, that no base of a devil with his cuts and his capers, no matter how swivel and dirt in his heart and moan and mocking, could enter the place where God was walking.
She show of them never a Christian joy, when Fenella comes again. When Fenella come at Lord at ye, there's the breaker man. To hire a leg or a leg foot, a chapter at my tea.
They were wonderful, them three. To see them together was something to see. Well, they were scandalous, though, for all, and the whole of the three of them, middle and tall, and her in the middle, and them either side, and the strength and the step of them, and the pride. George was the biggest, a goodish lot, and the curly yellow hair he got, and the eyes as blue and as soft as a wench's, but a splendid strapping lad of his inches, and bowl he looked, and keen defying the world, like a lump of a bull or a lion. He was middling red, and the face was George, and so was James, but not that large in the shoulders, and back like the oldest, but rather stooping like, and favouring the father. But pluck, oh bless you, there wasn't a patch betwixt them. I never saw their match. Game to the heels, or make your bet. The true breed them, never fret. But if they were red, then she was quite the way I told you, with the sheets of light coming off her skin, like a saying about Moses, with the fire on his face and all his clothes. But what's the use of me? I shouldn't be trying the lick, and I said I wouldn't, but just one thing, and that's her hair. Well, it wasn't right, no, I'll swear, it wasn't. Some charm or the lick, no doubt, was put on it. I says, you get out, easy all. Some witch or another must have spun that stuff. Neither father nor mother done that, my lads. It was black as nubs, but streaks of red, like you'll see in the dubs where they are cutting the turf, or down in the river where it's deeper and darker and redder than ever, and all like a cloud around her scutched. Oh, she must have been watched. She must have been watched. The three of them there, the three of them, I see them now, and it's like a dream. A dream is like, and it's strange to a man, but I'm always seeing things that's gone. She was proud, deed she was, uncommon proud, oh, that's what the parson himself allowed. Aye, many's the time I've seen the old man at the door, and holding the hat in his hand, and her on the step, and him that nervous, and backing and filling, and at your service, and bowing and bowing, and her on the step with the sit of her head and the curl of her lip, sweet but proud, and her foot like a queen's, and her only just coming into her teens. Oh, I'll never forget the time, no, never. One day she was coming across the river, not far from the shore where the stones was high, and far betwixt, and to see her fly like a bird, all colours, bless your hearts, the way they gets them in foreign parts, and a jumping delicate lick, and letting on a stone like a feather, and then she'd be getting her petticoats round her, and balancing like a image set on a fine hairspring, and I got her back of the bushes below, the way she wouldn't see me, you know, and my heart and me mouth, when what was the spree, but her hair got caught in the branch of a tree, nuts or tremmin, or never mind, but there she was, clean caught behind, and whatever she'd do, and took that sudden, it wouldn't let go, it wouldn't, so in I goes, nearly up to me waist, no stones for me, it was just a race, and a plunge, and a kick, and a scrambling through, and up to her before she knew, a slick with the noise of the water thundering in her ears, and me with me hand a-sundering the hair. Oh, she turned, and believe it or not, she made a leap, and she cleared the lot, and she stood all shivering, and the flashes of her eyes was awful regular splashes of fire. They was, and it's not afraid, says she, but how dare you, how dare you, she said, how dare you. Lord bless me, I didn't stand to think, I can tell you, but away I ran, and never stopped for gate or stile, till I'd done the better most part of a mile, but that same night I couldn't sleep, and back to the place, and I made a sweep overhead on the chance, and I caught the hare that was hanging still on the tremmin there. Oh, the tingly it felt in the dark, and the quick it run up around me finger, like elder. You'd have thought it was steel, the coil it had, and the spring, but am I going mad, eh, boys? Oh, laugh, laugh hearty, I say, for that's desperate nonsense, anyway.
Thank you.
But the very next morning I'll engage, down come George in a terrible rage, and him and James in their Sunday clothes, and says they, "You've salted Christmas Rose." "Salted her, yes, salted her," they says. "And it's up to the church you must go and confess on your bended knees this minute," they said, "and apologise." That's the word they had. Oh, they wouldn't take rest, but up I should. So I cleaned myself the quick as I could, and away with them, and as stiff as may be, talking together, but not to me. I didn't like it a bit, mind you, and I didn't hardly know what to do. But what must I say, says I, when I'm there? "Oh, it's all put down on the paper here," says James, and whips it out of his pocket. "Listen to this," he says, "ya block it." And sure enough, they had it as grand as any lawyer in the land. All the terrible big words that was in, and the wicked and imprint I'd been, and inasmuch, and seeing how far, and the court and the prisoner at the by, and they stopped in the high road twice for to make me ply it to say it nice, and wasn't I older? I don't say nay. But they come over me that way, elder of course, but it's no use of talking the art that was at them boys was shocking, or they'd work it, bless you, and whether or no they said the word and you had to go. Well, behold ye, there she was, out in the garden, and a chair on the grass, the parson's chair, with its arms like a gig, took out of the study a purpose, and big enough to hold half the parish with ease, and cock her up with a stool, if you please, under her feet, and if she hadn't a scarf or the lick, and with yellow and red in twisted through her hair to give her a look like a crown on her head, did you ever? Oh, a regular queen, and behold ye, a fan, and tipping it this way and that in her hand, and frowning and frowning, and "Let him draw near," says she, and I tried, but it didn't appear I had it all but middling handy down on my knees, like a jack a dandy or a play actor or the lick, and them and me betwixt us, and miss and mem humbling, bumbling, and no offence, and ups with her chin, and "Take him hence," she says, and she says, "I forgive his rudeness, and he has his pardon." His pardon? My goodness, I'm laughing now, but I didn't laugh then, and the boys to lift me, and all hearty again, and shaking hands, and never mind, but it was necessary, and terrible kind, and just be careful, like, that was it, and the same friends as ever, and coaxing a bit. But she got up, and she took a sweep of the grass with her frock, and I felt like a creep. And the swing of her waist and the ribbons flying, oh, a creep, there was no denying, and the pick and the peck, and the in with a taste, and, "'Excuse me, ma'am, and I asked your grace, and the way and the look, he have his pardon. If ever there was a fool in that garden, it was me, oh, it was, but right or wrong, she held me. She did, though, uncommon strong, her vice, of course. Aye, that's the thing. Sweet, oh, the sweet astonishing. If she cussed ye, it would have been the same, oh, hard as steel and soft as cream. Something betwixt a hawk and a linnet. Oh, the music of her soul was in it. Music, soul, you've heard tamarins and clarnets and their twisses and turns and curling and purling, piping and popping and booing and cooing and stipping and stopping. Well, they were all just fools to hear. To that darling voice. Oh, Betsy dear, yes, yes, yes. Difference, I know, and taken hence, that's it, we must, and come, 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 shoulder arms, and march to the drum, life is life, and the best foot first. Excuse me, lads, I was thinking just, thinking, oh, certainly, clear as a bell, but it's sharp, it could be, sharp as a knife, and stinging, stinging, oh, but bless you, the angels isn't all a singing, but a hailing the devils. And enter not, they're shouting and giving as good as they got, looking over the wall. For they leaves their hymns and fights like Turks, them cherubims. I've read in a book, but easy, I say. She was the one could howl me anyway and shake me too, could Christmas rose. And bless me, the way she had with her clothes, the slacking and torting and liffing and dipping and nippity-nappity trapping and tripping and a hitch to starboard and a hitch to port and a driggledy-draggledy all through the dirt. How are they doing it, Billy, eh? I don't know, but they manage that way, that 3 or 4 foot of nothing, bless you. Is more to you till Europe or Asia. But avast then, anyway, in she goes, and me all right, and clothes. Is it clothes? Oh, blow the lot. Oh, I did it grand. Oh, I gave it them nice, you'll understand. And away and shook them off, and tearing, blue murder and all, and cussing and swearing, the skin of your face, and making tracks and down the road. But then I slacks and into the hedge and cries like blazes, and up come people, and I knew their faces, and soldiering on as proud as you please, and pretending to look for blackberries, and down to the shore, and ups with a creel, and into the boat with a kick of me heel, and off. And before you could preach or pray, I was crossing the tide, and out to my hay, and a gate of the lobsters, and hauling in and destroying them congas like anything. I could do that, chitnish. There's no mistake, but I knew how to fish, and up with the grappling, and home, and the tide did again me, and springs beside, and the back at me mostly broke out of the hinges, and pulling, oh, pulling, pulling tremendous, and landed and moored, and a skip and a hop, and into bed, and I slept like a top.
Solace, God, here and do.
there's an end of everything under the sun, and I must tell you the way it was done, and was it my fault? It's not for me. Maybe it wasn't anybody. And if it wasn't for what the Bible is saying about him that hears us when we are praying, and never a sparrow drops for all, but he's handy close to see it fall, I'd think some black owl witch was stuck at the wheel of the world and spinning our luck and running the threads through her skinny fingers till our time was up, and then, by jingers, it's winkum wankum trumpety thrum, and she cuts you short with a snick of her thumb. But of course, it isn't all the same. It's him, and blessed be his name. They were terrible fond, them three of the boat, and they'd had her whatever she could float, but the parson was doing their schooling at home herself, you see, so they couldn't come just as they pleased, but they had their tasks, and grammar and ciphering and questions they asks us. Wonderful, oh, I could tell you a deal about yonder, but mind you, when Parson Gale was about in the parish, or when they were done with the tasks, oh, it was away they'd run like hounds for the shore, and her, yes, her, the first of the three, and in, and a spur rigged like a shot, and an oar I kept a purpose for her, and off we swept her with the rollick. Oh, bless your souls, as proud, but ours was squared in the thowels and pins, you know, and she'd pull, and man alive, it was beautiful. One evening they come, and it's after the calf, behold you, and long lines stowed there aft, ready baited, and her that had never been there, and carry on, and never care, and a mist coming, creeping up the sound, and wind a follow, you'll be bound, but stuff and nonsense, and a whisking her hat at the breeze, and, well, do this and that, and George with the gun looking out for a rabbit on the cliffs above us, but James rather crabbit on the middle thwart, and holding the sheet in his hand, and just a turn on the cleat, and eyeing the offing, or sink or swim, a sailor every inch of him, and is it back? I says, no, no, says she, the sea, the open sea, and a lot of rhymes, and George says, blow it, give her a tom, put a gunnel to it, a gunnel to it, aye, aye, me hearty, a gunnel to it, says Bonaparte, but it was gunnel to it, and no mistakes, for the wind come stronger, and I didn't speak, and I knew well enough what ought we to do, but give in before her, not me, would you? No, no, and her that keen to be sure, or she'd have danced if she'd had the floor, but she danced with her eyes. Dear heart, the light that come into them, and the stretched out, the tight, till they looked to be snapping fire in your face, for the storm was in her. Ah, oh, that's the place, that was the storm, aye, aye, man, aye. All out of the sea and out of the sky, catching it with a mouth like a suck, drawing the strength of its heart till she shook and shivered again. When the big cloud come up with the lightning, she gripped a shroud and she sprang to meet it like a bird to his nest, or a child to hang on its mammy's breast. Or was it her sweetheart the cloud was lick, and her a-leaping onto his neck, and sighing and sobbing and slaking her drouth, with the thunder poison from his mouth, sobbing aye, but not with fear. Oh, bless my heart, I cannot bear them women about in a storm. Can you, instead of the devil's own hullabaloo and fainting for them to go and rejoice? It isn't nice, it isn't nice. No right, no reason, or nothing, eh, for them to be carrying on that way. Women is women, and it's in the blood, and they should be freckin' a bit, they should. Well, the dark it got, and the lightning strong, like it would slick up the sea with its red-hot tongue, and a little dead dirt of daylight left in the west, and we began to drift on the rocks, for the boat could look at her course, so it's down with the lug and out with the oars, Me with the one again them two, and her in the stern with nothing to do but enjoying herself, and the head at a bear, and the lightning looking all mixed with her hair like flowers of fire. Yes, yes, and a child, but the while she looked, the while, and the glad and the mad was her father and mother out in the clouds chut. Bother. The strange things happens in storms, though, yet. Well, it makes me funny to think of it. So we pulled uncommon hard till we got to the Thusla. Bless me. That's the spot. That's where we gets the strength of the tide. Oh, desperate, though, but slack inside and shelter from the sea. That's more. So that's what we were making for. Three strokes, me hearts. Three strokes, I said. Three strokes and we'll be round the head. Three strokes was given, oh, the pluck of the lot. Three strokes with a will, and in we shot. Smooth water, but James had fell right aback from his taff with his head in the well. Dead as a heron, for sure, thinks I, and has him up immediately, and feels the heart, and going still, but as slow, oh, terrible. So I took him aft, and I put him resting with his head on her lap, and it was just distressing the way she sat, and not a notion to howl him, or nuss him, nor never a motion to breathe in his cheek or howl his hand, the way with women, you'll understand. But her knees, that sharp, all drew to a pint, most comfortless, and every joint that stiff. Or, as sure as I'm a sinner, it was the devil of the storm that was in her. Aye, aye. And mind my words, do you hear? I don't believe it was her that was there. Or if it was, I'll tell you it. Her soul was gone out of her for a bit. Out of her. And up in the air with the clouds and the thunder. Lord knows where. Get along, says you. And stuff, what stuff. Oh, it might happen, mind you. Easy enough. Well, leave it alone. But I saw, and I gave a cuss, but middling though, that she wouldn't hear. And I says, Miss Rose, I says, Lord only knows if there's life in Master James, and maybe you'll nuss him a bit, I says, like a baby. He haven't got no sense, says I, to know what are you doing, or try. I spoke middling free, and hysome, I says, hysome, Miss Rose, agin your breast, and warm him, and sing some old tune to his ear. Or do, Miss Rose, or do, that's a dear. I was trembling when I said that word, and afore it was out of my mouth, good Lord, there come a flash, that all the bay and the boat and us was like day, clap, but betwixt the darks, behold ye, George's face looking over my shoulder. White as the dead, and I and them too. White as the dead, haroo, haroo. And I turned like a shot, and I saw it all like a tree when it doesn't know which way to fall. And up with the arms, and down again, and all of a heap, and the boy gathered in with his head in a lap. I couldn't tell how or the freckin' I was that time, and now when I remember, but it's likely not, but still now. Was it the spirit? What? Come back to her like a bird off the wing? Or did she see Georgie? That's the thing. Well, we had a good 2 mile or more to row again. We got to the shore, and not a word from the one of us till the boat was up to her mooring just. But then, how was he, I asked. And his head, was it come and toe? Oh, he's better, she said. He knows where he is, thank God, says I, and get him ashore and middle and dry on a bit of the Florence, and me a gate of him, and George the two didn't feel the weight of him, and up to the house and in with us straight, and mother there, and getting a light, and grumbling I heard her, but letting on not, and fixing her hair, and strugging her breath, and whipping a chair, amazing swivel, and very neat and very civil, or she could be that, and mother, I said, Master James must be put to bed directly, I says, and get us up or something hot, and I'll sit up, and this and that, and when, for I was afraid there'd be a fight even then, but there wasn't, though, no, I declare, but, oh, the poor thing, and deary dear, and pitying, and looking at Christmas Rose, and bless me, the way them women knows was up, in a general way, when you're sick, and also about young girls and the like. It's terrible in the world, it is, for if two craythers have took a kiss anywhere by day or night, every old woman will know it straight. So we got him to bed, and George run home for to tell the parson, and down he come, and pale enough, and nothing to me, but I see, he says, I see, and down to the parlour, and lost no time, you may as he suppose, but turned like lime he did, though, when he saw the lad, for the favour was on him, and talking like mad, and never knowing the father a muscle, and down on his knees like the old apostle, with the chap in the Bible that nothing could hinder, but he must needs go and fall right out at the window. But the solemn awe, the beautiful hearing, praying a little, but none of you tearing and shouting up to the rafters like yonder primitives, that calls like a gander before his gresslings. And what do you think the rose went and did? Oh, the bonny blink of her eye that time. They're terrible, though, them women. Whether you like it or no, she come behind and she put her hand on the old man's head. Oh, dear, the grand it was to see her, and how he turned and looked in her face. Oh, it's me that yearned in my very heart. And Papa, says she, Papa, I just like that it would be, but sweeter, bless you, and like to crying, oh, she was a doll, and there's no denying. And didn't the mother come? Yes, come, and middling snappish and middling glum, she looked and her bonnet off, or it was, and titivated in her looking glass. Well, now I was freckin'. I don't know what at, but our little parlour and a lady like that, and it's no use a talking, she made me jump, with her hair like the hand of a pump, sticking out, and no cap nor nothing, and as grey as the devil, a sort of a wisp of hay, and her never knowing. I saw her there, combing away in the big armchair, but not till the morning, not her, if you please. Was your hurry, no loving ways with her, not a bit, and sitting as stiff, and rubbing her nose with a handkerchief, and as grim, but mind you, if you'd eyed her, you'd seen that woman had something inside her. Aye. But never mind. You'll hear. One at a time, says Tommy T. Well, the days went on, though, and James could sit in the bed, but a cripple, oh, never fit to earn his living nor nothing, but bent, all crooky and crutches, and be content and hobble about. Oh, dear. I grutched a lad like that Luke, like, watched or took at the fairies or that, and him a picture to look at every limb. If he wasn't that strong and that big like the brother, I don't know where you'd have seen such another. Oh, I tell you what, I love that lad. And to think of it now, it drives me mad. Well, just before he left our place and the doctors had settled about the case and cut, you know, I was sitting beside the bed, us alone, and I cried and I cried and I said, "It was me, it was me, it was me, Master James," I says. "Of all the three," Miss Rose, don't count, "it was me that done it, it was me, yes it was. Whomsomever begun it, I wish I was dead," I said, "I do, dead and in the grave with you, or dead me by myself, no matter what." "Now, Tom," says he, "what stuff have you got? The three of us done it," he said, "I'll swear," and he out with a cuss. "What a fool you are. Oh, the joy of my life. Oh, as free, just a little cuss, you see, to keep me in heart. Oh, I thought I'd bust." "Thank God," says I, "he can cuss, he can cuss." And then he swore me that I wouldn't tell what had he got, but I knew as well I can't say how, but chut, I knew it. I did afore ever he put the words to it. That night aboard the boat when he woked from the fit and felt the way he was yoked in Christmas's arms and her breath in his face, he didn't know the time nor the place, but only a sort of dream, I expect, and he kissed her knees and he kissed her neck, and all the words the poor fella had was, "Christmas, I love you. I love you," he said. Oh, the poor lad, I loved him too, very good and gentle and true. He said that he did. And oh, he said, "She lifted my head, she lifted my head," and whispered something in my ear. But I was that weak, I couldn't hear nor speak again. But her breath was warm and sweet on my face, and the strain of her arms and all. And "she loves me, she does," says he. "And look at me, and look at me," he says, and he looks at himself like this, and, "will she ever?" "Yes, yes, yes," I says. "Oh, Master James, you knows it's the real thing as Christmas Rose, and she'll be a good sister to you, no doubt, and fixing you nice and help you about. She's hardly enough as Miss Rose, and she'll try." Oh, then the red come into his eye, and he swore the big oath Oh, he says, Master James, cussing is cussing and names is names. If it's doing you good, oh, go ahead. But about Miss Christmas Rose, I said, oh, Master James, be careful, though, be careful for all. For how do you know she loves you? I said, because you lay in her arms and she nussed you into the bay. Wouldn't any girl have done the lick? And you that was dying, for goodness sake, says I, be quiet and let me wash you. The poor girl only didn't want to cross you. And besides, I know, but I jammed my helm hard as lee there, for I was going to tell him about George and the Luke and the boat. So he says, and all the blood come into his face, what do you know? And he swore the big oath, uncommon big, that I'd be loath to say it again, or deed I would. But the boy was mad, and I done what I could, and it wasn't nothing, and bless me the names, and oh, Master James, Master James, Master James, and you'll be killed altogether, I said, you will. You'll be killed now, James, if you don't lie still. Oh, a hard fight for it betwixt us, hard, and I wasn't everything, but I didn't regard for the worse of it was the waker he got, the angrier he was, and the cross and the hot, and the flesh was weak, but the spirit was strong, and all us thinking you were doing wrong, and fits, aye, fits, and him I'd know, such a hearty lad, and the strong and the grown. Was it me? Was it me? Well, the Lord, he gave it, and the Lord took away. So, there, let's leave it. But he'd be having me with him whatever he could, not long at a time, for every flood I was out at the lines, but the very first I was up to see him, it's go we must, the two of us alone to the church, and sitting there inside of the porch, and the one thing, as you may suppose, nothing but rows and rows and rows. And the very first time they were alone together, he told me he looked and looked to see whether or not, and nothing, he said, in a face but pity and gentleness. And what'll I do, he says, oh dear, what would he do? And his eye that clear and strong and all that proud and keen, and full of life that should have been. Oh, drop it, I says. Oh, Master James, drop it, drop it. It's only dreams. Isn't she your sister, I said, since the day God gave her to you from the sea? Keep her what she is, says I, and she'll be a blessing to you by and by. A blessing, says he, a blessing, a blessing. Tom Baines, he says, you're a foolish person. I'll speak, he says. I will, and I'll know, easy, Billy, you'd let him grow a bit first, Billy. Strange, eh? What? Young craither carrying on like that? Let them eat a bit more porridge first, says you. Oh, Billy, that's the worst of you, and it always was, I'll swear. You're coos, man, coos. Oh, yes, you are. Oh, it's coos it is. And childish, says you, young fools, yes, you says, go on now, now do. Fools, you said, and they shouldn't be stripped, I think you said, at their mammies and whip, and you'd warn them, you, would you? Well, listen to me, I'm not a young fool, nor meaning to be, and I say them young fools wasn't them your words. Well, wait a minute, and I'll give you the Lord's loving much is much forgiven, and of such fools is the kingdom of heaven. Well, we had it out the very next night, just at the dark but firelight, for the parson and the wife was away at another parson's, and George in the bay agate of the lines, and rain for all, and blowing hard, but we were bound to haul, and him on the sofa, and her a-clattering with the cups and saucers, and chittering and chattering. Oh, he told me all, and bless me, he had it just like a picter. You'd hardly credit now, would you? And him that mad, you know, and distracted, let go. He had it, though, he had it, and this and that, and how and where and when, and all the row and the backward and forward and here and there, and the light in the wall, and the light in the chair, and the light on her old dancing leg, and the tip in her head, and the tip in her neck, and the tipping behind, and the tipping before, and serpents, he said, wasn't nothing to her, nor royal Bengal tigers, the way she turned, shaking the fire like spray out of all her clothes. He bait me clean. I didn't know half of it. What did he mean? The quality, you see, is reared to that, noticing like, and which and what, like some of them painter chaps that's mixing a colour for everything and fixing the way it is, and him and her and the very place and the near and the far, bless you, the like of us wouldn't be minding was there light at all, yet let alone was it shining on her hips, on her hocks, and shadows fleeing. Lord bless me soul, what things to be seeing when your life is on the cast. Ho, ho, the quality's very curious, though. Well, he was determined for to speak, and out with it all to mar or to make. So he just said a name as low, but the way he said it, the way, you know, oh, she come to her feet, and she looked at him straight, the hard, he said, the hard and the quite. And the keen took sudden, you see, that way, and watching, what was he going to say, and holding herself like a hound on the spring, and a tightening her heart for anything. And proud, he said, she looked, and despising the legs of him, now isn't it surprising to think of that now? Proud, let it go, but despising her, no. And she looked, and he looked, and then it came out of his soul like the living flame, love and hate and joy and sadness all mixed together in a muck of madness, and angels and devils, he said, were scouring the soul of him, and the curses coming pouring out of him, and talking love and all the time, and deer and dove and curses again, till at last, says he, I said, never mind, she listened to me till then, he says, and never a breath but the study look and the strong as death. But then she shivered all over, and then, James, she said, and she said it again three times, she said it, and the eyes looking down, and the voice, it might have been a sound from heaven, he said, far off, he said, like one that had been spaken from the dead, he said, far off, and James, says she, I'm your sister, she says. There's three, she says, of us, and we love one another, she says. Oh, brother, 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 she says. And yes, I will, oh yes, and she come, for he made his mouth for a kiss, begging like, and she gave him one, and he fell as dead as any stone. That's all he remembered. But the servant was telling how she came to her, and her eyes all swelling with the big of tears. And quick, she says. Master James is very sick, she says to the servant. That's all she said, and never a bonnet upon her head, nor nothing. And take good care of him, Jane, and out in the rain, aye, out in the rain. And it's over, he said. I know. It's time to go. It's time to go. But, I said, Master James, she didn't say but what might be for all. A year and a day, says he. Oh, yes, and she'll think of it yet, Tom Baines, he says. You're an idiot.
When you come to your stable, your mind is on your horse. Your mind is not on Jesus Christ, who suffered on the cross. Who suffered on the cross, and his blessed may you be. For you'll never do for Jesus Christ what he has done for me. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Good New Year. And the Lord send a Good New Year. When you go to your cow house, your mind is on your cow house. Your mind is not on Jesus Christ, who gave the several vows. Who gave the several vows, and his blessed may you be. For you'll never do for Jesus Christ what he has done for me. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Good New Year. And the Lord send a Good New Year. When you go to your meadow, your mind is on your head. Your
mind is not on Jesus Christ, who's born on Christmas Day, who's born on Christmas Day, and as blessed may he be. For you'll never do for Jesus Christ what he has done for me. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Good New Year, and the Lord send a Good New Year. When you go to your chamber, your mind is on your sleeve. Your mind is not on Jesus Christ, who for your souls did weep. Who for your souls did weep, and as blessed may you be. For you'll never do for Jesus Christ what he has done for me. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Good New Year. And the Lord send a Good New Year. God bless the master of this house, likewise the mistress too, and all the little children around the table too, around the table too, and as blessed may you be, for you'll never do for Jesus Christ what he has done for me. And we wish you a Merry Christmas and a Good New Year, and the Lord send a Good New Year.
Well, George and me was coming in that night, and a terrible time we'd been with the wind offshore and blowing strong, and him the hearty it didn't seem long, and shoving an eye to the rocks to cheat the squalls. And says he at once, "Did you see it?" he says. "See what?" says I. "A ghost." "Look out," says he, "and let's come close." So as close we pulled, and behold a lion on the breast of the rock. Oh, we thought she was dying, and her hands all clenched, and the tangles there, and the water sip-sopping up to her hair. And what had happened? And bless my heart, and wondering, and come, let's start, says he, and in with her, into the boat, and covered her up with an oilskin coat that was at us there. But mind you, before I could get him to steady down to his oar, he stooped and he kissed her. "She's spaking," he said, and listening and holding down his head to hear, and sure enough she was. "Take me home," she said. "Oh, an albatross or a gannet wasn't nothing to him then, the way he pulled like 20 men, 1, 2, 3, with a sweep and a swing and a 4 for the queen and a 5 for the king, and into a gully that was lying back under the church itself, and a track wound up through the gorse. For I knew if we went to the shore what a hullabaloo there'd be, and the talk, oh dear, if they'd seen us. So up, and her going a-carrying between us, very weak and slack. But I saw Master George had to stow the jaw, let alone the kissing. Aye, he had, though, I tell you. "Is you being by?" he whispers to me. But she straightened the head that stiff on my shoulder. "Look out," I said, and look out it was, for right or wrong, he had to look out. He had, before long. The parson wasn't at home when we got to the house, so I stood out on the plat, and George took her in, or the gel could walk that time, and then he come out for a talk and a smook, sitting under the sycamore that stretched from the garden to the door. A fine tree, too, for the country, and tall, for they're running rather stunty and small over there as trees, and the wind would come and shiver it all and make it hum like a brave big top, and tapping the pane of the parson's study till he'd laugh again. Oh, he liked it well, but I don't know. Trees is very curious, though. If they are ghosts taken anywhere, it's in trees it is. Oh, they've got their shares, churchyards and that, but mind you me, I've seen funny things in a sycamore tree. Aye, my lads. Oh, lower down, all right, of course, all right, I'll be bound. You can grip them there and feel the stuff that's in them, oh, all right enough. But open the branches, I say. They're about, but never mind, look out, look out. Well, we talked and talked, and it was him begun, and he gave a big sigh, and he says, "It's done," he says, "it's done," and he hung his head, and I couldn't help it, Tom Baines, he said. And then he told me the hard to bear it was, and the trouble and the care, and trying to do his part, and stamping the heavy upon his heart, putting out the fire that kept burning still. Oh, he said, it was terrible. Where does it come from? Where? Is it in the ground? Is it in the air? Is it soaked with your milk? Is it mixed with your flesh? Does it float about everywhere like a mesh so fine you can't see it? Is it blast? Is it blight? Is it fire? Is it fever? Is it wrong? Is it right? Where is it? What is it? The Lord above, he only knows the strength of love. He only knows, and he only can, the root of love that's in a man. Oh, isn't it true? And him as quiet, seeing all in the clear sweet light that's running through him all day long and all the night, and the angels song, holy, 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 they're saying, and us poor creatures praying, praying, and him so quiet and gentle, Jesus, and waiting, waiting, but he sees us. I hope you enjoyed that, and please download the second Manx Radio Christmas Rose podcast to find out what happens to Christmas Rose.